or someone. You know, you think about it, we're still in the midst of this pandemic. We've got a hurricane about to hit landfall that could impact some of our family and friends, even though maybe not us directly here across the country. We've got the Taliban taking over Afghanistan. We've got an earthquake that's caused devastation in Haiti. And that's just this morning's headlines. And so, not to count what's going on personally when we've all walked into this place, perhaps bothered by something that maybe is weighing us down. And so I think if we're honest, we'd all be hard-pressed to go through even this past week and say, you know what, I'm not a little stressed or overwhelmed or worried about something. But why do we worry? You know, if God promises to watch over us and take care of us, why do we allow worry so often to plague our lives? You know, no matter what circumstance that we might face or what storm in life that may be trying to push us under while we're trying to catch our last breath of hope, we have to be reminded today that God is still there, that He is a sovereign God, that at this very moment, no matter what's going on globally and beyond in the universe and personally in our lives, that God's plan will be fulfilled no matter what. Amen. And He sees the big picture from eternity to eternity, even from our moment of brief perspective. Sometimes it may not add up. It may not be very clear and make much sense to us. But He is for us. He's certainly not against us. And He is waiting there to face every battle with us that sometimes, if we're honest, seems to come out of nowhere. But why worry? I mean, why do we fill our mind with this uneasiness? And why do we worry maybe when it's time to pay the rent or the mortgage, or maybe we go to the doctor and now we're facing a health crisis that we didn't this time last year, or maybe even last week? Why worry? We know no matter what we go through is for a reason. And all we have to do is ask God for the right direction for the situation. Hugh Blair stated this. He says, "Worry not about the possible troubles of the future, for if they come, you're but anticipating and adding to their weight. If you do not come, your worry is useless. In either case, it is weak and in vain. Distrust of God's providence." So when we have God as the pilot of our lives, then He will lead us only in the best direction. John J. Chapman describes society best when he put it this way. He says, "People get so in the habit of worry that if you save them from drowning and you put them on a bank to dry in the sun with hot chocolate and muffins, they wonder whether they're going to catch a cold." And so sometimes people who do not know the hope of glory are so wrapped up in worrying that they worry about worrying itself. And the old preacher from a long ago in England, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, he stated this. He says, "Anxiety does not empty tomorrow of its sorrows, but only empties today of its strength." And the Bible tells us to take one day at a time. Do not worry about the problems of tomorrow, because it says tomorrow will worry about itself. Besides, God is already there. And so in the words of Bobby McFerrin's number one 1988 hit, right? Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. So if you have your Bibles with you today, I would encourage you and invite you to turn with me to the book of Matthew. We're going to take a look at Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. It'll be on the screen behind me as well, but a very prominent passage. Jesus himself is speaking here in Matthew 6, starting in verse 25. Listen carefully, because the great physician himself, in his words that we're about to read, gives us a prescription for worry. Check it out, starting in verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to a span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So as we reflect upon Matthew 6, this prescription for worry that Jesus himself provides for us, that we can take, these spoke long ago, and we can apply to our life here this moment in August of 2021. We take a look back at the very first verse that we read, verse 25. And in verse 25, Jesus here essentially is telling us to check your values. Check your values. Does your life match up with the values of God that it's evident, recorded over and over and over again throughout his word? And someone once said, really kind of comes down to two things. There's only two things, when it's all said and done, that will last forever, that are present right here on this earth at this moment. Those two things: God's word. He says in his word that it will last forever and ever and ever. And people. People, relationships, eternal souls today that hang in the balance between heaven and hell. Everything else around us is temporary. It's fading fast, and it will go away one day. But what are we doing to invest our life, our priorities, in those two things: God's word and people that have eternal souls? So we have to check our values, Jesus is saying here in verse 25. And then we move into the next verse there in Matthew 6. And verse 26, Jesus says we need to see our value to God. See your value to God. You know, this morning, there's a little over 7.7 billion people on planet Earth. Now, I'm not that good at math, but I can tell you that's a lot of people, right? And so that is a lot of zeros, and so more than I can keep up with. And so that's a lot of people on our planet, in our world today. But the interesting thing is, out of all of those people, out of all of those zeros, right, there is no one exactly like you. You think about it, all the way back to Adam, at the very beginning in the garden, there has never, ever been anyone exactly like you. There never, ever will be anyone someone exactly like you. That's how unique you are. That's how special all of us are in the eyes of God. That's how he has crafted us, how he has created us, so we can make a big deal out of him. He has created us in his image. He has given us gifts and talents so we can serve him, to be a strong instrument and tool in his hands for the purpose and plan that he has for our life. That's an amazing thing, if you think about it. I mean, the very God who spoke entire creation into existence and spun it off of his fingertips. I mean, that God who sits on his throne this morning in the portals of heaven as a sovereign God even bothers to want to have a relationship with us, mere mortals, mere humans. Most of us, on average, I mean, stand somewhere a little over 5 feet tall. Here on planet Earth, in the middle of galaxies that we don't even know about yet. And so he wants a relationship with us, a personal, intimate relationship. We have to see our value to God. But as we're looking at this prescription for worry, Jesus takes an interesting turn in the next few verses that we read there in Matthew 6, because here in verses 27 through 29, he tells us to weigh, essentially, the benefits of worry against its cost. Weigh the benefits of worry against its cost. What is the cost of worry? High blood pressure, cholesterol, under-overeating, mental disorders, depression, anxiety attacks, sleep disturbances, general anxiety disorders, social anxiety disorders, insecurities, compulsive disorders. The list goes on and on, just to name a few. The cost of worry when it plagues our life. But in verses 30 through 32, Jesus then tells us that we have to check our faith. We have to check our faith in those moments when we're being overwhelmed, in those circumstances and situations that life can often bring us in a moment's notice. Are we totally and truly putting our faith in God at that moment and not trying to figure things out ourselves and be in control of the situation? We have to check our faith in those moments because it's very difficult to truly, totally trust in God through his son, Jesus Christ, and worry at the same time. He's trying to mix oil and water together. It doesn't happen too well. And so we have to ask ourselves many times, are we truly putting our faith in God in those moments, in those seasons sometimes of life? And then verse 33, Jesus says we have to seek God's rule in our life. We have to seek God's rule in our life. God calls us, if we have a relationship with him here today, to allow him to be the boss, the master, the Lord, the CEO of our life. And so that really just simply means, have we surrendered everything to him? Is he the hub of our life today? Is he the core in everything and everyone else? No matter who that is, no matter what that is, revolves around him. Does that reflect our life today? Do we truly allow him and desire for him to be supreme in our life? And then verse 34, as we look at this prescription for worry from Jesus here, he tells us that we have to deal with the present. Deal with the present. The here, the now, the moment, the gift of today. We can't dwell so much on the past. You know, all of us probably, if we could, we want to go back and we want to change something about the past. But none of us can. No matter who we are, no matter how hard we try, we can't go back and change anything about the past. It's history. And sometimes we just have to accept the grace and the mercy and the love of God that's new each and every day, and His forgiveness to pick us back up and to allow us to continue to move forward from the past. To not live in condemnation as a child of God, no matter what we've experienced and gone through in our past. And so we can't dwell so much on the past. The Bible tells us that God not only forgives our sins, but He forgets. That's hard for us as humans because we really can't forget. But He says, the Bible says that He forgets. He throws our sins as far as the east is from the west. That means from eternity to eternity. Doesn't remember Him anymore through His Son, Jesus Christ, and the blood that was shed on the cross. That's all He sees as us being children of God. It cleanses us all in His sight if we have that relationship with Him here this morning. And so we have to accept that many times. But the enemy, oh, how he loves to remind us of our past. And so if that's something that we are being reminded of many times, we know that's not a work of God. And then we can't really focus so much on the future. The Bible talks a certain degree about planning, plotting for the future, but the future may never come. All we have is today. And we're not guaranteed anymore, even this afternoon. And we have to make the most of today, most of the minutes that God has provided for us at this very time. August 29th. 2021, as we're rolling along, as He is allowing breath to still fill our lungs and our heart to beat and our brain to work, because if that's happening, God's not finished with us yet. That God has not finished the plan, the purpose He has. He still wants to work through us and to use us to make a big deal out of Him, to impact His kingdom. And so we have to focus on the here, the now, to deal with the present. But as we look at Matthew 6, as we look at this prescription for worry that Jesus is speaking about, you may say, Jeremy, you know, that sounds great, but man, that's kind of tough still. You know, I feel, if I'm honest, I probably have this PhD in worry. I mean, do you feel like maybe, I mean, you worry more than you should? You know, worry is like a rocking chair. Here a while back, Sarah and I, we got a couple rocking chairs. Getting close to 40, so I'm an old person now, right? Get out my back porch and rock a little bit. So one foot in the grave on the banana peel, right? Sliding on in. But as far as that's, you know, that's something that's nice. We go out there on our back porch and we have this wooded area behind our house, and you sit back there and try to relax. But you know, a rocking chair, as nice and relaxing as that may be from time to time, it won't get you anywhere. And that's how worry works in our life. Because worry doesn't do anything for us. It doesn't get us anywhere. You know, it can give you something to do, but it won't get you anywhere. Worry certainly cannot change the past, but it can ruin the present. When it plagues your life, when it overwhelms your life, and those that around you, as it overflows from your life. But we have a way out of worry. We can take our problems and cares to the Lord in prayer. You know what? A problem probably, you know, that you're not praying about, it's probably not worth worrying about, is it? Because worry means that there is something we cannot control. And oh, as sinful human beings, how we love to control situations and our life. But if we're honest, it's something that causes us to feel irritated with God. You know what? Have you ever noticed how worry tends to increase with the tension and the pressure points in our lives? I mean, worry often comes at a time of crisis. I mean, just when you need a clear mind and steady nerves to make the wisest decision possible, here comes worry, and it's like this dark cloud that just obstructs the warmth and the light of the sun. And worry drains you of your ability to think creatively and can cause many other problems. Worry fills the face with wrinkles and apprehension. It robs the body of rest at night. It sends you through your day shattered and shaky and second rate, really just living on the ragged edge. Why? Because again, worry is really fear rather than faith. Worry is fear, and fear is a liar rather than faith.
Amen.
Worry is a predisposition toward defeat and despair. And one man said, most of the troubles I have worried about in life never happened. Never even happened. But how do we conquer worry? How do we conquer worry? Well, we should never worry about things we cannot change. As hard as that may be sometimes in the moment, the prayer of St. Francis of Assisi captures this thought, puts it this way, Lord, grant me the courage to change the things I can, grace to bear what I cannot change, and the wisdom to know the difference. Do not worry about things you can change. Just change them. Now, I know we're here in the middle of the summer right now, but for a moment, I want you to think back with me to February when it was record cold, negative, Antarctic sub-temperatures or whatever we had around here. Crazy stuff. Power's going off. And all kinds of fun we had those several days of camping out in our house. And so with that, let's say in that moment, you're laying in bed and you're just shivering. I mean, your bones are just ice cold. And you know, it's this deep, dark winter night, no lights around. And there's a blanket just 6 feet away.
Nope.
You didn't want to get up, get that blanket, did you? No, you didn't want to move at all to get the blanket. Why? Because it was less work to lie there and worry about being cold throughout the night. Well, the solution to worry is to do something about it. Do not worry about your enemies. For in the Old Testament, King David put it this way. He said in Psalm 27, when the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this will I be confident. And then do not worry about your fear, because Paul is telling young Timothy here in 2 Timothy 1:7, he states, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of what? Of power and of love and of sound mind. Did you catch that? For God has not given us a spirit of fear. What we just talked about, worry essentially is fear that can plague our lives. And fear is a liar. And so, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of what? Of power and of love and of sound mind. And so if we're experiencing anything other than a power and of love and of sound mind, we know it's not of God. It's a work of the enemy, or living in a broken, sinful world, and the consequences and results of that many times by the choices we make as trying to take control of our lives and situations that we may encounter. But God comes to offer us freedom today from that bondage that we can so easily, all of us, be entrapped in from time to time. There's probably not anyone exempt that hasn't went through these seasons of worry and stress and being overwhelmed about something or someone. But God says, through that circumstance, through those situations, I will give you power through my Spirit working in and through you, of love and of sound mind. Do not worry when you feel overwhelmed by the pressures of life. The Apostle Paul, he says in Philippians 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. And we're just singing about it earlier. I mean, they're up in prison jail cells that certainly were nothing like the luxury cells they have here even in 21st century today. People were in jail, and here they are, busting out, singing in the midst of all this crazy chaos. And so certainly we know that the joy of the Lord doesn't depend upon our circumstances, to rejoice in Him, right? And so that's a choice we make each and every day, each and every situation that we encounter. And then back to King David there in the Old Testament, he says in Psalm 118, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Sunday, August 29th, 2021. It's a great day. It's the last day I'm going to be in my 30s. Tomorrow, straight over the hill, right? So pray for me. It's a tough transition, all right? At least Spencer's been calling me 41 for a year now, so maybe it's a little smoother transition there. But with that, we have to realize that this is the day, August 29, 2021. God has given all of us the gift of today. He has allowed us not to crawl out of a body bag, right, this morning. We're able to come out of our bed, and he's given us breath to our lungs and how he wants to work through us and use us in a mighty way. To be a voice and vessel for him. And so we make the most of today. In our time remaining, let me just briefly share with you three reasons not to worry. Three simple reasons not to worry. The first is this. God is your Father. He has the power to give you everything you need. Did you catch that? God is your Father, and he has the power to give you everything you need. You know, as a matter of fact, God took care of every need you ever had long before you ever knew you had a need. Before you were hungry, he gave the ground ability to grow food. Before you were cold, he provided resources to help warm us. Before you were ever thirsty, he provided water for the nations of the world to drink. The second reason not to worry is this. Worry produces absolutely nothing. Zero, zilch. You'll come up empty time and time and time again. Not even a fraction of anything, however that math stuff works. You come up empty, zero, again. Worry produces absolutely nothing. Jesus says, which of you, by worrying, depending on your translation there, can add one cubit to a stature or link to your life, you cannot. So why worry? Why plague our lives with something that God can take as we lay it at his feet and his throne, no matter what situation, circumstance that we are facing, these burdens that we are not intended to carry. You know, our society reads diet books, jogs in the rain, joins health clubs as we try to lengthen our life. And while, you know, living a healthy lifestyle is certainly part of good stewardship, I mean, taking proper care of the bodies that God has given us as the temple of God, ultimately, if we're honest, when it comes down to it, bottom line, our lives are in the Lord's hands. He holds the ultimate time clock. Jesus was the great physician and the master architect of the body. And so you can trust the owner's manual, if you will, that he has given us. You know what? And that's better than a life insurance program. That's a life assurance program. That's a life assurance program, not only in this life, the situations, circumstances all of us will face, the ups and downs, the good and bad, the mountaintops, the deep, dark valleys, somewhere in between. It gives us hope in those times, in those situations, but also for all of eternity with him one day, forever and ever and ever. In heaven, as we get to see him face to face, as believers, as Christ followers. That's the assurance that we have now and forever because of his son, Jesus Christ, and what he's done for us on the cross. The third and final reason not to worry is this. Worry is a rat. You say, do what? Yeah, worry is a rat. You know, a while back, I came across this story of this aviator, this pilot, flew around the world, stopped every few hours at selected landing fields to refuel. And so on one leg of his journey, this destination, he's flying around 2 hours from his selected landing field, and it was exactly halfway from his destination, he heard a noise in his plane that he recognized as, you guessed it, the gnawing of a rat. Now, not knowing which delicate indicators might be destroyed by the sharp teeth of the rat, the pilot did what probably most of us would do. He began to worry. And then he remembered that rats are rodents, and they do not function very well at heights. You know, rats made to live in the ground and in deep, dark holes. And so the pilot pointed his plane higher and higher and higher until the gnawing finally stopped. 2 hours later, when he landed safely, dead rat fell out of his cockpit. The way to kill off your worries, take your life up a notch. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep pressing onward and upward, trusting in Him and Him alone as you go higher and higher. And as you focus on Christ and Christ alone in those situations and circumstances that we all face from time to time, these so-called rats that are trying to eat away at our peace and security that God promises to provide for us will begin to drop off one by one. Your worries will not survive. So as we prepare to close out today, let's be reminded of this. Worry is the rejection of faith. And the rejection of faith turns godly Christians, Christ followers, into practicing atheists. No wonder the Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please Him, being God. We cannot worry and trust Him at the same time. Worry is a rat that cannot live in the secret place of the Most High. It cannot breathe in the atmosphere of faith and confidence. And so today, as you're gathered in this place, in this room, if your life's course has been altered, been plagued by worry, let me encourage you, let me challenge you here this morning to climb, to keep climbing and to climb some more into the presence of the living God, to feel His peace and His reassuring touch, to experience His love and the joy of His presence, because worry must die in this divine atmosphere. So don't worry, be happy. Will you pray with me? I'm just going to ask you now, as we enter into this time of reflection, just a time to all of us do business with God here this morning as we are reflecting on God's Word. We know His Word tells us that it never goes out void. And so as God is speaking to us this morning through His Word, maybe you're here today and you say, Jeremy, I'm just not certain what we're talking about. I have that personal, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, and maybe worry and stress has overwhelmed my life. And maybe it's because you've never truly surrendered and taken your heart and your life, and you've laid it and given it over to God through His Son, Jesus Christ, and what He's done for us on the cross. So maybe God's speaking to you about that this morning. Maybe His Spirit is stirring in you at this very moment that you're wrestling with. Or maybe you're here today and you know without a doubt you have that personal, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. And you know you have hope in this life and forever, but if you're honest, you as a believer, you're still dealing with stress and worry and being anxious. And for you today, maybe it's a time that God's calling you to truly make sure that you haven't drifted, that He is truly still supreme. He's still truly the Lord, the boss, the master, the CEO, the true core of your life above anything. Everyone else is all the number one priority that He should be. And so maybe today you just do business with Him, making sure that all that is in tune and in sync with Him. Or maybe you just want to spend these next few moments. We're about to stand. We're going to sing to God. And maybe you just want to pray right where you're at. Maybe you want to come and at the altar. It'll be open. I'll be down close to the front. Others will be around. If you just want to go to someone, have a moment of prayer, we'll be here to help you, to pray with you any way that we can. But this is a time just to reflect, a time to really do business with God as we are really just examining and allowing His Word to sink and marinate in us, to allow us to teach us and tell us what He wants us to take from His Word here this morning as we leave this place back into the mission field. And so, God, I pray as we enter into this time of a reflection, if there's one here today that certainly hasn't experienced that hope in You in this life and forever, that they would truly make sure things are right with You before they leave this place. God, I pray they would take that card that's in the chair back in front of them and just simply fill it out and just mark that maybe they have questions, they have doubts, and this is a safe place, and they just want to explore more about that. And so they want to seek that out, or maybe You've spoken to them this morning, and they want to give their life to You. They want to surrender it all to You, making You the Lord and the Master of their life, no matter the circumstances that we all encounter. And so I pray if that's them, that they would do that, they'd have the boldness to do that. And God, we thank You so much for giving us Your Word that we can turn to time and time again. And this morning that we can gain a prescription of worry that we can apply to our lives for such a chaotic time that we are all experiencing in our world today. We thank You that You are still on Your throne at this very moment. And no matter what we're facing as we all gather in this place today, that You'll be praised and You'll be glorified no matter what. And God, we can always have a living hope in You no matter what we're facing this morning, now and forevermore, because of Your Son, Jesus Christ. In Your name we pray, amen. Would you stand with me as we sing?
You overcame, broke every chain forever. walking into over fear, over lies. You're singing the truth.
There you go, Corey.
Thanks, man. Yeah. Oh. Well, thank you everybody for being here today. It was another glorious Sunday worshiping together. I've got a few announcements, and then we will dismiss. I heard yesterday this is the time when people start to glaze over. You know, did Sean mention that? Yeah, we had announcements. Okay, these are the announcements. Peak number three is coming. Sean is doing the peak number three class September 12th. Peak three helps you identify what your strengths, abilities, and weaknesses are in terms of serving.
No, I was just laughing at the weaknesses.
Yes, we will determine what your weaknesses are too. but it's designed to try to help you bring a focus to what it is you want to do in ministry. Where your passions lie, and we will try to get you there. September 12th, right after church. I'm sure he'll have food. He always does. Two more OCC-related items. Today is the last day for the OCC Crossroads T-shirt. Who has one on today? Stand up, Carrie. Charlie. Turn around. These are the OCC T-shirts. Month or two from now, someone's gonna say, Corey, how can I get one of those T-shirts? Well, what was today's date, Jeremy? You said it was August the 29th was the last day for them. They're $20. OCC is coming up. Y'all remember last year we did our big shoebox thing in November? We're only a couple weeks away from that. There are some critical items that we need. Number one, school supplies, crayons, colored pencils, scissors. We desperately, desperately need those. There's been a shortage on those this year. That was actually an easy product for us to get last year. This year, not so much. So whatever you guys can get for that, that would be awesome. And as we're getting into fall, we've got a lot of things coming up for the fall, lots of things that leadership has met with, lots of things to get involved in. If you are not a part of a journey group, again, we always say this. You say, I come to this church, but I don't know anybody, and I'm just not really connected. The journey group is your answer. That is your way to do it. The journey group is priceless. I did change my group to Tuesdays. I know a lot of people are like, Fridays is bad. So me and Sean are on Tuesday, and Brandon's going to be Sundays after church. And some of us have some new studies that we're starting in September, so... You know, if you want to get involved now, you won't jump into the middle of one. All right, guys, let's pray. Oh, we have someone raising their hand. Go ahead. When is that?
Sunday, September 12th at 5:00.
Youth parents, September 12th at 5:00. Yes, I will be there with you and Greg. Yes. There will be snacks. If you have a kid that's in the youth department, please come to that. We've got some fun and exciting planning to do there, okay? Thanks for that, Downing. All right, guys. Dear God, we thank you for today, Lord. It's always wonderful to be in your presence and worship together as brothers and sisters, Lord. I pray that you will go with us this week as we enter the work world, school, Lord. I just pray that you will, just the Holy Spirit will touch our hearts, that we could be bold and brave to share the gospel with people throughout the week and to focus on you 7 days a week, not just on Sundays, Lord. Amen. In your name I pray, amen.